one of the most challenging things in writing my Mekomis Becheskes Abadim is that whenever I start off by saying, Hal Da'olei L'chavrei, that's where it starts and that's where it ends. The only problem is that there are about 400 Hal Da'olei L'chavreis in the next three blocks, and they all sound the same. So our goal over the next 4 months or so is to try to figure out how each one is different from the other and try to understand the Amkes HaDvarim, each one of these statements, these stories that appear in Chazal. And Rambam, Dov the Perush Mishnayos, writes that after Ridanosi finished Mishnayos, so what was left for the Amoraim to do? So the Rambam writes that they spent most of the time trying to figure out what in the world Mishnayos meant and how to understand this mission, like this mission, this price, etc. All the things, all the kashas and minu, all the things that appear in the Gemara. Then the Rambam writes that they spent the next 300 years trying to deal with dinim nifloim, what kind of strange cases that came up that no one had ever dreamt of before. How do you extrapolate from the previous generation, from the previous dinim, to know how to plug in? So probably the Rambam had in mind all these, every case is kookier than the other about all these fights between the Bali Din. But our job is to try to figure out what the Ratzon HaBorei, what the Din HaTorah is in all these cases. So with that introduction, we begin on Daf Chav Tes on the base. It starts with Haldom Chavri. Hold the Amal Chavri, my boys, behind Beisa. So Reuven says to Shimon, what are you doing in this house? Presumably Reuben is saying that it's my house, so we'll get lost. So Amalei, he responds back, V'noch zavinta v'ach l'shnei chazokah. So Shimon gives the best taina. He says, I bought it from you, and I have edim to testify on a dinner for shnei chazokah for 3 years. So anyone who's learned a little bit of chesed debatim is well aware of the fact that that's a win-win, because he has a chazokah, he has edim that he was machzik at the field for 3 years, at chiz pes for 3 years, and he has chazokah sheish b'taina. He's getting a very respectable response that minach zavinta, I bought it from you. Now, where's the shtar? Oh, come on, we know where the shtar is. The shtar's gone already. It's more than 3 years. That's the point of 3 years. So Amalei, so listen to this response that the ma'arer, the original owner of the field says, the original owner of the house says, Ani b'shchuni gavoy havoy. I was b'shchuni gavoy. Now, that is a loaded phrase, Shchuni Gavoy. There are actually at least three different pshatim in the Rishon and what it means, and subdivisions within those pshatim and what it means. But we're not going to get to that. That's going to be the next sugya. So we're just going to take as a face value that there's some kind of a response that the Marikam is saying to invalidate the other fellow's chazaka. So now, basically, they're fighting about, is it a good chazaka or is it not a good chazaka? So also the commentary of Nach, but Amalei Zilbor Rechi Loscha. So Rav Nachman said, you have to prove that it's a good chazaka. So you have to do something to combat that claim of Shchuni Gavoy, whatever that means. Amalei Rava, Rava's Talmud said to him, Dina Hochi, or Hochi Dina, whatever the gear says, Hamas Chalav Araya. He said, no. The person who has the chazaka has the upper hand, and the other fellow is the Maitzi B'chavero, and he has to prove the authenticity of his claim of Shchuni Gavoy. So again, we don't want to focus now on Shchuni Gavoy right now. And we don't even want to focus on the machlokes Rav and Rav Nachman, who is the Maitzi and who is the Muchzak. Those are all critical questions, and hopefully, Beit Hashem, as time goes on, we will deal with all those questions in future sugyas. What we want to speak about now is not the case per se, but almost the background to the case, or the lack of the background to the case. So we have this din Torah that's taking place, that Reuven, I forgot who's the Mach, who's who anymore, but we'll make it over again. Reuven's the Mara. Okay, so Reuven comes to Shimon, says, my boy, the high Beisa. And Shimon produces Chesed Gimushonim. The question is there some kind of a glitch in this Chesed Gimushonim? But vice versa, that you have to have Chesed Gimushonim here. If Shimon can't produce Chesed Gimushonim, the game is over. So obviously, we're talking about a case that is requiring an Eidus of Chesed Gimushonim. Comes to Rashbam and immediately puts in a piece of information here. Again, the Gemara doesn't say one or the other. The Rashbam feels compelled to inform you of this basic piece of information. Says Rashbam, the Baruch of Tesmei Beis. The high ufta, this entire story, let me say, obviously, the Ma'are Reuven has Eidim, not that the house is his, that's exactly the question in hand. What edus does he have? That the house was what? Not hover, but hayah, that's the past tense, or as diktuk experts. It means it was his house at one time. Namely, he has edus that he was the marakama, edus that he at one time did own this house. That's critical to the whole case, says the Rashbam. You know why that's critical? About Balei Eidus. But if he didn't have any Eidus, I feel Rav Nachman Maidi, the Machzik Nehman Balei Raya. Says the Rashbam, if you take that out of the equation, that there was Eidim supporting the Ma'ariv's original words, namely that I was the owner of the house at one time, if that's not true, so then, what's the Shaila? What are Rav Nachman and Rabbah fighting about whether you have to prove you had a Chesgim Oshonim? You don't need any Chesgim Oshonim. Balei Raya. If I'm living in a house and you don't have Eidim that you one time owned the house, I get the house right away. I don't even have to prove Chesgim Oshonim. I don't even have to bring Eidim Chesgim Oshonim. Why? So imagine the following thing there. Reuven comes up to Shimon and says, get out of the house. And Shimon says, I bought it from you. And Reuven says, where is this Chesgim Oshonim? And Shimon says, I don't have any, but I bought it from you. Who wins the din Torah? Shimon wins the din Torah. Why? Is his claim a good claim? When Shimon says, I bought it from you, but I don't have Chesgim Oshonim, that in and of itself is a miserable claim. It's an absurd claim. To say that you bought something without Chesgim Oshonim is miserable. You know why? Because if you don't have Chesgim Oshonim, what should you have?
Nishtar.
Which you don't have. So Nishtar, Nishchas Gimushonim. So what do you mean you bought it? What does that mean? So that claim in and of itself, Tach, is not valid. So why is Shimon going to win the Din Torah? Because Shimon could have said what? What could Shimon have said? Remember, Reuben has no Eidim that he ever owned the house in the first place. Shimon could have said, I don't even know who you are. Well, how are you? Shalchami Yalam. It was never yours. So Shimon has two options to respond to Reuben's claim. Reuben says, it's my house, it was my house, it still is my house. And Shimon wants to win, he has two options. Either we could say, it was your house, but I bought it, or he could say, it was never your house in the first place. If he would have said it was never your house in the first place, he would have won hands down. The fact that he chose to say the miserable, absurd claim of, I bought it without a b'shtar, I don't have Eidim, I don't have nothing, I don't have chazak, zero good, which is in itself worthless, comes to Rashbam and says, this introduces us to what territory of halacha? This is Hichos Migai. Believe me to say that I bought it, for Migai that I could have said what? I could have said, that's what the Rashbam seems to be talking, seems to be pointing in that direction. So the Rashbam just boosts it up a little bit, makes it even a little bit fancier. It says the Rashbam, but b'lo yedus, a few of Nachman Meridi amachzik nemen b'lo raya, she'apesha also apesha hitir. Migo, I could have said that it was mine all along, I should be believed. And the Rashbam even calls that a pesha, also a pesha hitir. That's a loaded phrase. To me, that sounds like just a very, very simple migo. But we have a lot of work to do on this one. Yeah.
We typically talk about migo in the sense of, I should have said this, but I'm choosing to say this instead. And then equally as good. But if people have gone down the path of saying, you never owned this house.
And what was wrong with that?
Then that would mean any future Aiden that might come forward would ruin that ego. The statement of, I bought it from you, means that even if the Ma'ara owned it at one point, it might be harder to dispute his statement of, I bought it.
Okay, maybe I hear you. Okay, it would be arguing with Rabbi Yeshua and the Mishnah, but okay, I hear you. It's okay, you're allowed to argue. Yesterday we argued with Rishonim. I mean, argued, we questioned Rishonim. No, argue Rishonim, question Rishonim. Remember? We're not a precursor, not really. Okay. Hold on for a minute. So that's how the Rashbam sets up the sugya. So again, we're nowhere near talking about what Shechina Gavoy means, and we have no idea what the Nekudas of Achlaksin, Rav and Rav Nachman is all about. But one thing we know, one thing we're very comfortable with, is the background to the sugya, that they have to be Eidim. Because if there are no Eidim, then this case is an absurd discussion. The absence of Eidim, so the machzik, quote unquote, wins hands down. Migo could have said, "L'hoi zvamei olam, l'hoi shachamei olam." Adkan givei Rashbam. Do you think the Rashbam said this by atzmo? Do you think the Rashbam just thought of this himself? He's reading the Bavaschov test and thought of this idea. Clearly not. The Rashbam had his eyes on a sugya in Maseches Ksubis, where the Mishnah says it black and white. I'm really sure. It's a Mishnah the beginning, second part of Maseches Ksubis says it black and white that. If there are no Eidim, and I say to you, whatever I say, I'm believed, Migva could have said, L'hash Chavi Yolam. So the Rashbam didn't make it up. He took it right out of the sugya and gave it back from the Sechus. So everybody saying, comes the riff from the sixth of Maimon Kamos. And he has an observation about this very sugya. Hi, Maise, the sixth of Maimon Kamos. Hi, Maise, the Shchuni Gavoy. Chanzina Beitrei Perushe. He says, if you look at the day of the works of the Gaonim, you'll find two radically different approaches to this entire sugya. Ikaban de Parish. There are those who explain Tama Ara Lace Lay Sade Dai Ara Dilehi. That Hokama Bayaskina, the sugya is talking about, the Ma'arir, Ruvain, does not have Edim that this land ever belonged to him. So we can really stop right now and say, what did the Ritual say? Yesh Arba Mazazach. Didn't they hear the Mishnah Supas? Didn't they read the Rashbam? Don't they know that if there are no Edim, the case is closed? What compelled this Yesh Omum to potentially even utter such a statement? What forced them to say there were no Edim? So the Yesh Omum, the Yesh Bram Mefarshim explain what led them down this path. Led them down the path is as follows. The Islay Sade Dai Aradilehi. Because if the case is, like the Rashbam depicted the case, that there are Edim, the High Omum Minav Zevinta Vachal Tishle Chazoka. Wait a second. Says the first opinion, the Gaonim, the Yesh Omim in the Rif. The sugya plays out, Rav Nachman and Rava are fighting as to who has the upper hand. Rav Nachman said, Zil Borach Ilosho. Rav Nachman supports the Ma'ari, and Rava supports the Machzik. Says, he becomes a Muchzak. He becomes the Muchzak. When you have a Din Torah between a pre-known owner of a field against a schnook we never heard of before, and we have no way of knowing of who's right, who in the world is the muchzuk? It's Eila al Hadas that anybody except the Merkam is the muchzuk? Of course, I don't mean muchzuk like muchzuk. Who has the upper hand in the Din Torah? Would anybody in their right mind ever say that anybody but the Merkam has the upper hand in the Din Torah? What in the world is, what's Rava talking about? And says the Rif, the Yesh Omim say that Rabbi Gufi Yom Chaygavu can't boil the say South Dach Shnei Chazaka. It's Gemaras and Gemaras and Gemaras. Of course, that's the Yisod Yisod Chesavatim. That if Reuven has a Chesav Kama and Shimon is a nobody, so of course Shimon has to prove that he has a Chazaka. So what's Rabbi talking about? That is what was irking the Yesh Omim in the Rif. If you read our Gemara and Chavtes like the rest of Chesavatim, the Hochma Ma'askinan, the Markama, the original guy, the Ma'arer, has Edim, then the whole flow of Rav and Rav Nachman doesn't make any sense. Mitay Chaim Rakusha says the Yeshayimrim, obviously what's playing out in Chotesim of the Basra is that the Ma'arer does not have any Edim. Never had any Edim. Nobody knows who this Ma'arer is. No one ever heard of him before. And then, Rav's kind of makes sense. Motzvah Levar, do bis the Ma'arer, you don't have Edim, the other guy sitting on the field, so we understand why the Yesh Omim said what they said. We understand what was irking them, what was bothering them. I understand, I sympathize with the Yesh Omim. But the solution to their dilemma seems to be untenable. Because the solution was to basically throw the Edim out the window. And say the only way to explain the Hemshech HaSugya, particularly Rava's concluding statement of that the Ma'arav becomes labeled as the Motzuch of Araya, it only makes sense that there are no Edim. So now the question is, no Edim? No Edim? If there are no Edim, why did the Machzik have to bring it Ches Gibur Shalom in the first place? Why does he have to say anything? If there are no Edim, so he has a clear-cut Migo, he has a Pesha also. Believe him no matter what he says. Migo, Pesha also, Migo could have said that Lohai Shechamei Olam. So the Yesh Omim, I understand, and I appreciate where they were coming from, and I understand what bothered them. But their solution to what bothered them, to change the case and bump the Edom out of the picture, seems to be, Pilei Ploy undermines everything. It undermines Migo, it undermines Amishtim, Masechet Tzubis, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. So Rabbi say, we've just discovered a Machlokes Rishonim between the Rashbam, who's giving us the party line, who's quoting the Mishnah Masechet Tzubis, who's quoting the principle of Migo that we love already for many months, and we have the Shinas HaGa'inim, the Yesh Omim, the first opinion that the Rif is addressing, who seem to completely and totally close their eyes to the Migos, the Pesh Oslas, the Mishnah Masechet Tzubis. totally, completely oblivious to the first half of the year, only because they had a kasha. Hey, what's going on with Rav Stein? What's going on with Raya? So basically, it behooves us to go back to the sources and to try to understand where these Yeshayim, where this first sheet is Gainim. If the Rif is quoting Gainim, it's not just a couple of guys, you know, made a mistake and forgot to learn Tzachsubas that year. We're talking about the sheet is Gainim, the Yeshayim, the first opinion, the Rif, that knew ganz gut versteht dem Tzachsubas and had an entirely different way of understanding the entire Sugya B'Tchila V'Yatzayif that the Rashbam was assuming. So this sets up for us, what Rabbi said, the Rashbam and the Gainim, Rashbam gets the first sheet is Gainim. And it forces us to go back to us, back to the drawing board, and to learn a thing or two about Migos and Pesha Alsars before we can dismiss the Chitzagoinim just out of hand. Yeah.
What's this thing
that's
bothering the Yeshomer?
What's bothering the Yeshomer is that if there are no Edim to the Ma'arer, so why in the world? I'm sorry, if there are Edim to the Ma'arer, if the Ma'arer has Edim, that the field used to belong to him, the Machzik doesn't have to prove it? Doesn't have to prove he has a Chazaka? We have a latest Asafik, whether there's a good Chazaka or not. It's my word against your word, whether there's a Shechunei Gavoy or not. So if there's Shechunei Gavoy, that undermines the Chazaka. We don't know what Shechunei Gavoy means, we don't care what it means right now. But if there is Shechunei Gavoy, that undermines the Chazaka. So we have a latest Asafik in days in, has the Chazaka been destroyed or not? So who has the upper hand? If I have Edom, of course I get the upper hand.
I'm just saying,
Rav, it's just a good match. Yeah, Rav, yeah. But if it has a shchuni gavoy to it, then it's meaningless. That's exactly the point. So we have a latest asafik that we have a chesed. We have eight of the chesed gemushav. It's very nice, but it may have been a meaningless chesed gemushav if the shchuni gavoy is true. So basically, we got to go back to the drawing board. We have to learn a little bit of maseches ksubis. And again, the goal of the next discussion is to open up our eyes to be able to understand what the Hilga Ga'inim, the Rif, was referring to, how they had the ability to disagree with the Rashbam in terms of the very presentation of that sugya. So the sugya begins inside the Gemara, make it much more official. Oh, we have a Gemara here. Gemara, please. Okay. Okay. Oh. Nothing like the Gemara. Oh, that first crack. He's left many more cracks. Okay. So it all starts with the Mishnah Maseches Ksubas and Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis. So before we even look at the Gemara, before we say anything, you guys should be bothered with the Kasha already. I didn't even say anything yet. Context. We're about to embark upon a discussion of Shittas Rabbi Yeshua about Chazakas in the second parak of Maseches Ksubas.
What happened first?
That's also a good question.
Why?
Why what?
Why is it in the second
parak? Yeah, why are we in Ksubas exactly? Isn't this a Baba Basra topic? Like what in the world is doing in Ksubas?
Shaska.
What?
Shaska.
Yeah. I mean, who was the one who told me yesterday? A great line. I like that line very much. You said that Nashim is the Zikin with women. Who said that? He said, yeah. That's a great line. Very fascinating. I never thought of it. Lucy has never thought of it like that. Okay. All right. Anyway, but so Rabbi said, I don't understand. I don't understand. What is Rabbi Yeshua talking about with the Basra, Chazabad, and Mixers? So Rabbi Yeshua starts off on Tezvav of Abayis by saying, Umayda Rabbi Yeshua, I agree to the following. That in of itself is a dead giveaway. I agree to what? Who am I agreeing with? Who was I arguing with that I agree to? So the answer is, Lashik Rep, guess what happened in the first track? There was a machloikis between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel back in the end of the first back, which was a real ksubas issue, which sets the stage for what Rabbi Yeshua is about to say about Chesed Gimoshon. So what was that original machloikis between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel? Well, I should have put this back here in my Mekrim somewhere. I didn't put that original Mishnah on. Yeah, I'm sure I did. Okay. So that original Mishnah was in the Yud Beis of the Beis. So we need a little bit of a background. Not the Yud Beis of the Beis. Hanayis Yeseisha v'lo Matzla B'sulim. So he gets married. He comes to Beis Din the next day and he says that, by the way, this woman doesn't have Besuma. She's not a Besuma. Now, there is a big, complicated sugya in the Aftesim, Masechus Ksuvos, about what the ramifications for that are vis-a-vis them being able to continue to remain married to each other, depending on what his accusation is. If he's stating, or if he's believed to say, that she was an Eishes Ishesin, so namely she was Mezana Beratzon after the Erusin, that's a big, big problem, because then the whole marriage is going to be broken up. But we're not even talking about that right now. We're not interested right now in this event. We're focusing on Dina Mamna Shibo. Nobody's accusing anybody of being an Eishes Ishesin, so that's not the topic right now. He's interested in one thing. You know what he's interested in? He just signed off yesterday at the Ksuba. Remember, at the Chosin's Tish, so the Mesach Kiddush said to him, you're going to have to pay 200 zuz to this woman at some point. And he wakes up the next morning and says, no, not me. I'm not going to have 200. Maybe 100 for Koshi. Maybe nothing. But 200 for sure not. You know why? Shtei the Ksuba, Kesem Zuz, Emosem, Besulaychi, the Chosin. It's not true. She wasn't a Besula. So he comes forward to Beis Din and he says that she wasn't a Besula. The whole thing is not true. And I'm not paying no 200 zuz. She's standing there. This is the day. This is the first day she arose. Okay, this is the day after the fasting. So she responds. Here, Neris. Misha erastani ne'enasti v'stach pasadehu. She says, he is 100% right. I'm not a besula. And he still has to pay for 200 zuz. Again, he's not going to pay it now. They're not getting divorced yet. Less of love when they get divorced, when he dies. So they're trying to figure out what's going to happen. So she says, 100% true, I was not a Besula, but I became not a Besula. I was Nemsa, which is not going to impact on her status of Labaila, but I was Nemsa after the Kiddushin, after the Eris and the Kiddushin, same thing. Why is that so important? Because when you married me, when you Makadish me, so you Makadish me like I was a Besula, which I was. Now the fact that I turned out to be Ois Besula after the Kiddushin, Nistach Fasadeh, you know what that means? It's a strange mashal, but that means your field got flooded. It means I belong to you already. I was going to use an Eishes Ish. Your Mekach got ruined. It's your loss, not my loss. So she's right. If the facts are right, if we had Ruch HaKadosh to know exactly when she was Nemsa, so then she's 100% right. And she's not going to lose a penny from her Ksuba. Who am I there? Loi! Kiela Achele Rastich. He says, no, it's not. That's not true. You were Mezana, you were Nenza, whatever it was, before, as Makadish you. And Vahoy Mechi Mechachtos. And there was Mechachtos. I was not planning I'm not Meshabi, 200 Zuz, to someone who wasn't the Besu at the top of the Kedushin. So if you think about it, they're all agreeing to 99% of the story. Namely, they both admit that she was Takadat, not a Besula, Beshas Besun. They both agree to it. They both agree that Imtum Suleimar, that she became not a Besula before Kiddushin, she taka loses the Ksuba, at least part of the Ksuba. They all agree that if it happened after the Kiddushin, before the Besuwa, then it's Takhfa Sadeo, then she doesn't lose a penny. What are they arguing about? When it happens. That's his word against her word. So what do? His word against her word. So comes the Mishnah and continues. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Eimim Nemenis. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer says she's believed. Now, if you would just read the Mishnah without knowing too much about the Gemara, what do you think about that? She's believed. That's a very, very striking statement, she's believed. Why? If you didn't read the Mishnah, what do you think the din would be? If you're sitting on the din Torah, you never learn Ksuba. Well, you're sitting on the din Torah, not learn Ksuba, I'm not sure, but you're sitting on the din Torah, you never learn this Mishnah, and she's claiming that you owe me 200 zuz, and he's claiming I only owe you 100, owe you nothing, whatever it is, whatever his counterclaim is. His word against her, we have no idea who's telling the truth.
What's
Chavirah? So obviously, we saw that you shouldn't have to pay. So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer are shocking us by saying that Nemenis, she's going to get money. She's going to be made to see Mammon and Beis Din based on her word against his word, unheard of. So the wheels have to already be turning for us and thinking she's got to have something that's supporting her. There's got to be some mechanism in halacha that she has. Any ideas before we kind of concretize what those mechanisms are? Any ideas what she could possibly have to win this din Torah? Some possibilities? Migo, a good one, but we don't want to talk about that yet. Before we get to Migo, any other ideas what upper hand she may have in this din Torah? Just think it through a little bit. She has an interesting chazaka meikar. What's the chazaka meikar? Well, we know she was born in Besula. and she was a b'sula when she was 3, 4, 5, and 6. Now when she gets married at the age of 12, so we're having a latest asafik. We're trying to figure out, did she lose a b'sulim now, or did she lose a b'sulim 3 months before? We're trying to figure, we don't know. So Chazak Meikar tells us that you probably remain the status quo until the last possible moment. So Chazak Meikar is not a bad idea that Jeremy's saying. The Chazak Meikar may be on her side. Of course, that's a loaded statement that Jeremy just said. That, oh really? Oh, she had Chazak Meikar and everything's hunky-dory and great, right? Really? It was great? You might see Mama based on Chazak Meikar? Oh, really? 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 But now am I saying, you might see Mama based on Chazak Meikar? Anyone want to strengthen that statement? That is lo yitochein lagid davar kazeh, except all the chvarim who say it. But lo yitochein lagid davar kazeh, except the gemara that may say it. But lo yitochein lagid davar kazeh, because you might see mom based chazak bekar. Why? Come on, just throw a concept at me. Throw a rule at me that you know. Enoch mom lacharay. No good. That's good. I don't have to do with anything. I'm talking chazak. I'm talking rov. No. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Give me more. Give me more. Right, says that. No. I mean, that's maybe true. Depends if your name is Sumchus or not, but that's not going to help me. So, Jeremy just told me this Kabbalah part. I'm reading the Mishnah, and he's telling me, oh, I understand what Gemara is. It's hunky dory. It's Chazaka, right? They're not Chazaka. Chazaka works with Meitimam, and Chazaka Meikara. So now I'm hearing something about Enoch Mamrecha Rov, but I'm talking Chazaka, you're talking Rov. No, come on, but the piece of information missing. I need one piece of Torah information. And we'll realize that Jeremy's Teretz is wrong. I just need one piece. One cloud.
And depends if Chazaka is on Hagar Bir.
No. Two lumdas. I need a Gemara. I don't need Rav Shimon. I need a Gemara. That's true, but maybe this is the Raya. Chazaka. But that's what I'm asking. That's what Jeremy's saying. You guys are finding this out. Thank you very much. So the Gemara says in Kedushin, Ruba v'chazaka rubadif. So the very simple kavachovers: A is greater than B, and B is greater than C, then A is greater than C. Can someone please fill in A, B, and C for me? Fill it in, right? Rov is greater than Chazaka, and Cheskes Mamon is greater than Rov. That's what Enoch Mamrecha Rov means, right? So if Rov is greater than Chazaka, and Cheskes Mamon is greater than Rov, then C. What? Then what? Then Cheskes Mamon must be greater than Chazaka. So that's why Jeremy's wrong. Right? Probably. But hang in there, okay? It's a rove that you're wrong. But you may have a Chazaka that you're right. So hang in for a minute, okay? So your simple reading of the Mishnah, we realize you've entered the trouble. I'm just going to get you guys to think a little bit. We have to think. Come on. You've got to think through things. So you read the Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel says that, oh yeah, she wins the Dintar. Hands down. She wins the Dintar. You have to stop and ask yourself, who here when they read this Mishnah thought, what do you mean she wins the Dintarim? What does she have to win the Dintarim? So Jeremy thought Chazaka, so we just deflated that idea. Okay, any other ideas? Yeah. Anything else she has?
She's a Bada and he's a Shema.
Ooh. She has every right to know when this happened. It happened to her. You don't have a clue. This guy was these other things happened, okay? He was Mekadisha 6 months ago. He went off to Eretz Yisrael to learn the next month. Okay, he's sitting in Shtaigi learning Kachim and Bris for 6 months. He's coming back for the Nisuhin. And Baruch Hu having a Din Torah. And she's saying, how in the world do you know when I was Nansa? I was there. I was the one who was Nansa. And he says, I don't know. I'm sure of the Yod, the name. Maybe it was then, it was now. I don't know. It's the Chabar Vishema. She's a Bari, he's a Shema. Oh, now the wheels are turning. So Bari v'Shema, Bari Adif, Gavaldik. Except for the technical difficulty that what? We have to pass the Bari v'Shema, La Bari Adif. Okay, small technicality, right? So far we're 0-2, okay? So Jeremy took us down the path of Chazaka. That's behind Rabbi Gamliel. And we just ran to a brick wall. And now we're going down the path of Bari v'Shema, Bari Adif. And we hit another brick wall. So we have nothing left. What else do we have? There's only one thing that's going to save the day. What's the word? Somebody said it before. She must have some Migo up her sleeve. And we start to scratch our heads and think, what Migo? Where Migo? What Migo? What's the Migo? What's the Migo? Believe me that Mishay Rastani Nanasti, Migo, I could have said, what? And that's the question mark. What's the what? Again, I'm just learning Rabbi Gamliel. Okay? I'm just simply learning Rabbi Gamliel. What is this Migo? Unclear. So you can learn the whole first parak of Maseches Ksuvis and never quite figure out what this potential Migo. It's got to be a Migo because Chazaka just failed us, presumably, and Bar Bishama presumably failed us. The only thing that we have a fighting chance left is Wait. So the only possible Migo we have would be something. It's got to be some kind of a Migo we have. So all of a sudden we have to jump ahead a little bit to the second paragraph of Ksubis. You have to learn the first and the second paragraph together. Because finally the Gemara tells us what this Migo is. In passing, the Gemara tells us what the Migo is. On Daf Tezayim and Aleph, the Gemara says, the Migo, the Iboy Omra Mukas Eitz Ani Tachtecha, the Loi Kaposla Navshe Mikahuna, the Ka'omra Nenasni, the Kaposla Navshe Mikahuna, Mishum Hachi Ka'omra Raman Gamliel de Mehemna. Now we have a Gemara. This is not a bad Migo. It's the Migo. He says to her, listen, you're not a Bissura. I'm not paying you no 200 Zuz. She has two possible responses to explain this physical phenomenon. She's not a Bissura. She can say that Mishir Astayin Nenasti, or she can come with another story of the Gamre. What's the other story? Mukas Eitz Ani Tachtecha. I get injured. Mukas Eitz is a general term for saying I lost my Bissulim in some other physical way. Whether I hit with a piece of wood, Mukas Eitz Ani, whether I had a skiing accident, I fell off a horseback ride, whatever it means doesn't matter. I had a doctor's procedure, modern day Mukas Eitz, whatever, it doesn't matter. The Bissulim, that part of the woman's body that's intact. Normally when she gets married, hasn't had beer for the first time, she has beer the first time, so that part of the body, that membrane, could potentially be ripped through, could be broken in other ways besides beer. That's what's called Mukas Eitz. So she could have said that. And if she would have said Mukas Eitz Ani Tachtecha, it happened after the Kedushin, she would get the same to Zeus, right? So she has to think, which Taina should I say? Should I say Mishir Astayin Anasti? Should I say Mukas Eitz Ani Tachtecha? Which is the better Taina? Which is the cleaner Taina? If you had a lie, if you were choosing a lie, you had one of these two things to say, which one would you lie? It is much, much better for her in her long lifetime to say Mukas Eitz Tachtecha. Why is that? Because she knows in the back of her mind that, listen, between you and me, this marriage is not going anywhere. Okay? I mean, they're already fighting on day one whether how much the ksuba is. This doesn't have a good track record. She's already got her eyes, what? She's already signing up already for the next Google. She's already signing up for the next husband already. And she wants to keep her shidduch prospects as open as possible. If it's true that she was mishin ne'erastani ne'enasti, that just stuck a foot in her mouth. You know what? It just knocked off all the kohanim off the list because she was nivul apostle of psala, and she's just shenemsa is psula kahuna. If she's merely a mukas eitz ani tachtecha, no big deal. Now, between you and me, if this marriage disappears because of gerushin, which is probably going to, if I was a betting man, I'd probably say she's not going to last the next week till the end of Shebrach, this wedding. But then it's not going to make a difference. She's still anyway. But maybe there are other ways for this marriage to end. Believe it like that. Okay? So Misa Baal, she still has a lot of options available. Okay, she can marry Kohen Gadol, that's true. But otherwise, a regular Kohen, a regular guy in the street, regular Kohen, she's out and far.
She would have fallen to Yibum if they don't have kids now.
Yibum, so many different
things. So then come on,
first of all, there's no brother. I give you a million reasons why this guy's married with six kids from another marriage. I give you a hochamaiskin. It's too complicated, yeah. Okay, we're not writing a soap opera drama over here. I mean, it's just
Marius.
What?
Marius writing one for us.
Okay, okay. Relax. All right, back pedal. Okay. So Rabbi Say, we're just trying to over dramatize a little bit here. So Rabbi Say, in the back of my mind, she realizes that for me to say Mishir Astayin Nenasti is a very costly claim because it's going to cost me shiduchim down the line. So therefore, what does she say? it would have been much smarter for the same mukas itarta, because she could have a cake and eat it. She'll get a 200 zuz ksuba, and she'll keep her shidduch prospects open. So she had two things on the table in front of her. She could have said either one, and she chose to say the more damaging one. Rabbi said, what does that tell you about this woman? That she's probably what? Probably telling the truth. Because if people want to lie, they tend to say the lie that's in their best interest. So she's probably telling you the emes. And that's the migo that appears in Ksubas and daf tezayin and aleph it was. And that's behind Rabbi Gamliel's statement of nemenes. That's the reason why. Thus is the migo. Okay? Everyone got it? That's the migo. We spent a lot of time analyzing Rabbi Gamliel and Kumt Rabbi Yeshua, and says to his colleagues of Rabbi Eliezer, Loi mipia anu chayin. We do not live based on the words that's coming out of this woman's mouth. That's a very poetic way of saying what? We don't believe her. Why did he say such a bizarre word? What did you say? Enin amenas. That was what appeared.
She's a mekubetzis.
She's a mekubetzis, right? In Ksubas, because the olam is oimed al what? Al emes. The olam is oimed al kayim al emes. And if the whole world would be made up of people like this who are shakronim, lo, we would all cease to exist. Lo mi pi anu chayim. She is not keeping us alive because she is a shakranit. She is a liar. So it's a very poetic way of saying she's lying. Lo mi pi anu chayim. Rabbi Yeshua rejects this nigga. So what is the din? Ela harei zoi becheskes b'ula achlo tisaris v'it also achlo tavi railez v'arev. If she wants a 200 zuz, she better prove when she became Nensa. Otherwise, with the Raya, he's going to have the upper hand of the thing better. So this was the Halik and Achalikis of Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. What a Achalikis. Well, so now that we learned that few days, now we can go ahead to Daf Tezvav. And it's with this background that Rabbi Yeshua feels almost compelled to apologize to us and to say, don't think I never heard of Migo. Don't think I deny the principle of Migo. I also like Migos. But not the Migo of my colleagues of the Gamliel Rabbi Eliezer. Let me give you an example of a Migo that I do accept. And in Alzen Nema Rabbi Yeshua, Umayga Rabbi Yeshua. I, Rabbi Yeshua, who disagreed with the other Tanoim back in the first barak, Umayga Rabbi Yeshua, this is the Migo. Rabbi Yeshua is looking to create the Migo. He's going to depict for us the Migo of all Migos. This is the Migo to carry the day, the best Migo possible. Listen to this Migo. I come to you and I say, this field belonged to your father, ulukachti amenu, and I bought it from him. Obviously, I don't have any shtar, I don't have any chesgi mushanim, otherwise, what are we wasting time with migos for? Shuneman, I'm believed. Why am I believed? Shapesh also a pesha hitir. This kind of migo I like, says Rabbi Yeshua. This is a good migo. What's the migo? Migo I could have said what? Why is this a good migo? This is a terrible taina. I'm taining, I bought a field, nish shtar, nish eidi chazoka. What kind of time is that? The answer is, Migra could have said, what? Lashachamayalam, it never belonged to your father in the first place. So Bishua says, that kind of Migra I like. But if there were Edim that used to belong to the father, so then that Migra, the ability to say, Lashachamayalam, is obviously pulled out from under him. So now, in the absence of Migra, he has to come forward with a valid taina. And his valetaina, that I bought it, but I don't have any shtar, I don't have any eti chazok, is nishkin valetaina, he's going to lose the field. This is Rabbi Yeshua. So you have to appreciate Rabbi Yeshua, who's depicting this perfect, this is the picture-perfect Migo. This Migo works, in contrast to the Migo back in the days of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, the Migo back in the first place doesn't work. So comes the Gemara, and poses the following question. Maishna haimigo. Everyone saw the Gemara inside? Maishna haimigo haimigo. According to Rabbi Yeshua, what is the difference between the two migos? Why do you disagree with Rabbi Gamliel back in the first parak? And you accept the migo over here? That's the question that's posed by the Gemara. Maishna haimigo haimigo. Comes the Gemara. Everyone saw the Gemara already on Daf Tezayin? Comes the Gemara and says, the answer to that basic fundamental question of Maishna Haimigo Haimigo has something to do with a dead ox. That's it. In one case, there's a dead ox. In another place, there's no dead ox. Who heard the Gemara? Everyone understood exactly what the Gemara meant? How many Pshatim and Rishonim do we have about the dead ox? At least four Pshatim and Rishonim. What in the world the Gemara just meant with that statement? So once we figure out what in the world the dead ox has to do with our sugya, we may have a fighting chance to understand Rabbi Yeshua, and we may have a fighting chance to understand the Gaonim and the Rif, we have a fighting chance to understand the Rashbam, and we have a fighting chance to understand Agamah. Everything's going to revolve around the dead ox, the Shoshachar or the lack of Shoshachar. What in the world is going on in the city? So Rashi, on the spot, fills you in with the following. Rashi says that there is a big difference between two different scenarios. Scenario number one is, I am taking you to a Din Torah. I am starting it, I'm initiating it, and I'm saying, you have something that you really shouldn't have. I have a claim against you. You're trying to get something out of me, I have a claim against you. I start the case, I initiate the case, and you start to respond. You respond to Taina Azoi, you respond to Taina Azoi, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're no good. Says Rashi, that depiction, that illustration, that's the sugya of Niga. So again, if you respond with a believable Taina, that's great. If you respond with a non-believable Taina, that's miserable. Unless you can sum up a lot of your hat, believe me, to say this unbelievable Taina, Migo, I could have said the believable one. And that was where Migo will begin, and then you discuss the authenticity of the Migo. Then you got to check down all the lists. Is this a good Migo? Migo the Uzzas, and Migo the Yaris, and Migo the Nis, Migo Makamed, Migo Makamrov, Migo Makamishtah, you have to learn all the kolah nigo to figure out, yeah, good migo, nish good migo. But that is the background. That is the illustration for parsha of migo. There's a teveya, there's a nitva, a discussion has initiated. It's a response to a claim. Says Rashi, what if this is not a response to a claim? You know why? You're not responding to a claim. You know why? There was no claim. You walk in the basement on your own 2 feet. Nobody sent your hazmana. Nobody sent your summons. Nobody invited you. No need for you to come. You walk in the basement on your own 2 feet and you start shooting off your mouth. And you say some preposterous statement that if we would just take your statement at face value, it would cost you a lot of money. It would get you into a lot of trouble. But the basement's listening to you. And we're starting to think, wait a second, this guy's coming in with a big fat Hodos Baldin in front of him. He is really, really putting his foot into his mouth big time. Because if we just listen to what he's saying, it's going to cost him a hefty sum of money. But at the end of the day, we say to ourselves, wait a second, this guy's probably telling the truth. His crazy cockamamie story probably is true. You know why? What makes us believe that his story is probably true? Because nobody asked him to come. What are you going for? Why did he come to the basement for? If you wanted to lie, if you wanted to be dishonest, if you wanted to be a cheat, what should you have done? You should have gone on vacation. You should have skipped out of town. What did he come to the basement for? Nobody asked. Nobody invited him to come to the basement. He doesn't talk to anybody. Says Rashi, that's a different din. You know what that's called? That's called a pesha asar. Moshe Lod of Adoyme is the Mishnah Ksubas later on the Sefer Berak. And the Ramah Chashim. Mishnah to the Ramah Evan Ezer for a minute. A woman walks into the basin. We don't know who she is. We never met her. She tells the following story. She said, I was married for 10 years, but I received a gift from my husband. I'm ready to get married now. If you just listen to that story, what? She just gave us a shavya nashchitich nisu that she's nesha's ish. She said she had a gift from her husband. A woman not believed to say she has a gift. Where's the gift? Where the eidim? The gift's lost. Where the eidim died. Erechad, don't she be erva? You're a baldover. She's not believed to say she's a grusha. So just based on the words alone, we should say she's an eshes ish now. The yolam vod, she can prove that she has a get. All of a sudden, was the mishnah saying sumis?
Shavina.
What do we say about her? We find the mishnah. You know why? Because We totally we accept her story from A to Z. How do you believe her story? How can you believe a woman to say she's a grusha? That's crazy. It's against the Pesach Chumash. Dov v'dov v'mamun. How do you believe her based on what parasha? Pesach also Peshit. Nobody told her to come to Beis Din. We didn't know she was. If we knew she was married for 10 years, and then she comes and says she has a get, but she can't find it, that's meaningless. But if we didn't know she was married in the first place, the Chabesh Asa. That's what Rashi says exactly in Super Zav Tezva, that the same way you have by Issa the Hefter, if you initiate the case, that's Pesh Asa. Now, says Rashi, we can begin to understand exactly what Rabbi Yeshua is saying. In the case back, all the way back, and a few days in the first parak, where he has a claim against her. He's saying, I'm not giving it soon, but you're a ba'ula. You claim you're a ba'ula, now you're a ba'ula. I'm not paying her anything. Give me an answer. So the Beis Din says to her, miss, give some kind of a response. You have to give a response. So she gives us this cuckoo, crazy, meshugna response called Mishia Rastadi Danasti, which in itself is not a thing. Mehecha Tesis tells the truth. How do you know? Can you wait to see a moment of that? No. Oh, she wants to be believed based on what? Why? Come on, Chazar, no. Migo. So you know what Rabbi Yeshua says? You know what Rabbi Yeshua says? I don't what? Not only do I not believe her, Migo, I don't what? I don't believe. I don't believe in Migo. I don't think Migo is a principle that works in halacha. Some guys are saying, what did I just say? That's what Rabbi Yeshua just said. Rabbi Yeshua is comparing, contrasting, and saying, we don't accept Daf Yabez, but we do accept Daf Tezvav. What's the difference? Says Rashi, very simple. On Daf Yabez, there was a Teveya, and whenever there's a Teveya, you have to go down the parsha of Migo, it's not a Pesha Osir, because there's a Teveya. So she's got to say something. He's saying she's not a Besula, she's got to respond. She gives us a half-fake story. No. She has a Migo. I never heard of Migo, says Rabbi Yeshua. Just because you guys heard of Migo. Well, I never heard of Migo. There's no thing. This is not called a Migo. Finished. This is not a Migo. You want to know why I accept on Daf Tezvav that the guy who says that he walks to the Beis Din and his own avail, nobody invited him, and he says, oh, by the way, let me tell you that this field used to belong to your father, you didn't even know about it, and I bought it from him, da da da. So my saying that I bought from him is not believable. There's no shtar, no chesed yibushon. You want to believe me based on Migo? That kind of a Migo I'll accept. You know why? Because that's not really Migo. What is that? That's a what? That's a Pesha Osha. You want to call it a Migo, you can call it a Migo Dibay Shosik. If you feel so bad and you don't want to throw the word Migo out of your vocabulary and you can't bring yourself to say Migos don't exist, okay, good. So Migo Dibay Shosik exists, which is another way of saying Pesha Osha. But a Migo on a Taina, those are things, Migo from Taina to Taina, that doesn't exist. That's what Bishu says. I didn't say this. The Gemara said it.
Bishu is saying that in the Dafta Zayin, where he isn't there a Tovea like this?
No, no, that's the punchline. Umayim the Rabbi Yeshua. Ba'oim alechaveirai. Ba'oim alechaveira. Umayim the Rabbi Yeshua. Ba'oim alechaveirai. Sada Zusha.
Why would he say that? Because he was asking for the
field. No, because he's a nice guy. He walks into the basin and volunteers the following information. There's no Teveya. There's a Teveya. Then the game's over. That's Bigo. Bigo don't exist. Anyone read Rashi? Rashi at Tezar, no, no. Says it's black on white. When the Gemara says, Maishta hai Migo, mahai Migo. Hocha said, the Gemara said, Hocha ain't sure shach lefanecha. Hos me sure shach lefanecha. Who's the dead ox? So Rashi explains what the dead ox means. Rashi says, Hocha gabi sada. There's no dead ox here. Shiyale alei vayle v'tvoya bishachtoi. Dead ox is a mushal, is a way of describing why there's no teveya. You know why there's no teveya? Why should there be a teveya? I should walk up to Jeremy's house in Muncie and say, by the way, the house was mine. Like why? Like, what would lead you to even say such a silly thing? Why would there be a teveya? Kloimar, im shosak zeh, Lohay Irim, there was no Ma'arir. Hilkach, Ilav the Dabapashu Shalachi Men, Lohay Anala Shalavich Oysa. Hilcha Mina Migo, then we accept Miga. Okay, we accept Pesha also. Aval Gabi Lamotzala Besulim, Shoshachal Ferech Besulim, Shlamotzala, Hey Misulim Al Beizdin. What's the Shoshachot? She's not a Besula. He realizes she's not a Besula, so that's a dead ox in front of him. That's what forces him to learn. Shoshachot is a joke, that's not the mean, that's not the point. Shoshachot is a way of explaining why in one case there is a Teveh, in one case there's no Teveh. It's a Metzius question. Is there Teveh or not? When there's a Teveh, that's called Migo. Migos don't work, says Rabbi Yeshua. When there is no Teveh, that's called Pesha Osar, or Migo Dibar Shosik, if you want to call it that, then Migos, Pesha Osars do work. That's the truth. That is what's going on in Daf Tzayin. No, I made this up. Did I make the Rashi? Didn't say this black and white? Mamash black and white Rashi said this. That's exactly what the words mean. Shoshachot versus no Shoshachot, Teveh versus no Teveh. According to Rashi, what would be the din the following case? I come to you and I say, what are you doing in my house? I knock at you and I say, what are you doing in my house? And you say to me, what makes you believe it's your house? Where are the Eidim? I say, I don't have any Eidim. And we come to Beis Din. There are no Eidim. And I'm yelling and screaming, what are you doing in my house? And you respond in front of Beis Din and say the following. Yes, this house was yours, but I bought it from you. I don't have a shtein or a chazaka. Who wins? Quinto Rashi. There was a Teveah there. If there's a Teveah there, then this is not a what? It's not a Pesha also. It's merely a Migo, and Rabbi Yeshua says Migos don't exist. Who wins the Dintar? Because the claim that the person said, I bought it without a shtar, without a chazok, is a meaningless claim. So there's a hodos bal din that it belonged to me in the first place. So the game's over, he has to give the field back. According to Rashi, the only time that Rabbi Yeshua said that you win with this migo/migo by shosik/peshosar is only when there was no teveya. But the minute there's a teveya there, the game is over, and the ma'ara wins. Who is sitting before the days of Rashi? Before Rashi was born, thousands of miles away from northern France of Rashi. Who's sitting somewhere back in the 800s and 900s, I don't know when, and smiling? The Goyim, some mysterious anonymous Goyim sitting in Surah Fubadisa, somewhere in the middle of Iraq, who looked at the Gemara in Baba Basra, Chavtas, and said, there cannot be Eidim. Because if there are Eidim for the Marakama, then there's no way in the world Rava would have said such a thing and must have come up. That was the problem. So that Goyim, that mysterious anonymous Goyim, sitting somewhere in Surah Pupadisa, is knocking his head against the wall and saying, I have to make a case. I have to create a case that makes sense in Baba Basra Chavtas. And finally, after months of deliberation, he decided who's got to go, who's got to leave, who do we have to toss out the window? The Eidim. By tossing the Eidim out the window, he ran right into the Mishnah Ksubas Daf Tezvav. Right? Wrong. Because if you really honestly believe that the Mishnah Tezvav is only talking about when there was no Teveah, but if there was a Teveah, even in the absence of Eidim, that's not a Pesha Osar. Once there's a Teveya, that's called the Shoshachot. Once there's a Shoshachot, that's no longer a Pesha Asar, that's a Migo. And I'm Rabbi Yeshua, I don't believe in Migos. This Rashi is going to save the day for this Goyim. Of course, this Goyim is only as true as Rashi is true. And Rashi is very, 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 very problematic in so many different levels. So Rabbi Say, Rashi himself feels compelled to explain to us why he just undermined all Migos. But all Migos don't exist, according to Rashi. With that one lone exception of the Mid by Shossi Pesha Alsos. Right, Rashi has to explain that. I mean, we've been learning Vasa for the whole year. Probably everyone in this room, whether you learn Vasa or not, any time, if you ever learned anything in Noshman Ezekiel, you've probably seen the word Migo at one time. So we've been grown up to believe there's a parasha of Migo, and Rashi just dashed our childhood beliefs. There's no Migo. So Rashi feels compelled, you have to look at every word of Rashi, every Rashi would die. Rashi feels compelled, brother. He knows he's got a lot of Talmidim who are sitting there. What did the Rebbe just say? There's no Migos. Why not? Isn't it obvious that he's telling the truth? Isn't it a hochach that he's telling the truth? Rashi's bothered, consent, forget about textually, is against all the shas. Forget about that. That's a small technicality. But conceptually, what do you mean there's no Migo? Isn't it obvious? Isn't Migo a Pasha the Svara? Who had the sort of Rashi? I put the Rashi on my covers. Rashi continues that Tezayim now. Aval Gabi Lomotza LeBesulim Shor Shochan LeFanecha Besulim Shlomotza LeHem Yistulim LeBezdin V'yaf Al-Pi Sheyesh LeHoshif Tayna Toiva Mizu. Rashi is not arguing with the fact that, hey, she's got a better taina, right? Remember, Mukas Eitz is a cleaner, nicer taina. Lo amrin amigo. This is Rabbi Yeshua speaking to the eyes of the words of Rashi. We don't say amigo. You know why? The duma lo aska daita. In four words, Rashi just threw out half of last semester. The duma, Rashi tells you the fundamental flaw in all amigos. All amigos are students that, you know, it's amazing. We learned Migos so much less than us, right? All the Migos in the first parak. Migo this, Migo that, Migo this. Nobody asked me this question. Migo is assuming something unbelievable. It's assuming everybody is a world-class Talmid Chacham. Believe me to say this, because a Migo could have said that. How do you know this Nikapoop knew what to say? How do you know he read every Shach and Klon Migo? How do you know he read every Tum and Kashas and Klon Migo? What?
We
tine it for the never for the people who don't have anyone to tine it for. The guy's a smart guy, but he's not so smart. So, lo aska daite. You're believing him, Migo, he could have said, if he wanted to lie, a raya brewer that he's telling the truth, he could have lied. What do you mean he could have lied? He could have only lied if he knew what the lie was. He didn't know to bring back the first breath. He says parua, which is a silly, ridiculous tine on a shtachov. It's nuts. It's a ridiculous response. Parua, shtachov on my boy. Or Migo, he could have said mezuyav. He never learned Kitab Beis that talks about Mezuyev. He never learned Ksubas Tzech about Mezuyev. He never knew this thing called Mezuyev. So for the Yama Aretz, where's the Migo? So comes Rashi and says, you want to know why Migo doesn't work? That's why it doesn't work. Because what do you mean Migo could have said this? That's presupposing a certain degree of knowledge. And then Rashi goes one step further. Inami, says Rashi. I'll tell you another problem with the Migos. All Migos. Irumin Kama Arma. The first attack Rashi had against Migo is the guy's not so knowledgeable. The second attack Rashi says is the guy is
super smart.
Street smart. He may not know every tzais and tumim and nesivos about Migos, but he's sharp. He knows how to be one step ahead of the law, one step ahead of the game. If I say this taina, then they'll believe me because they'll say, oh, the guy must be telling the truth because otherwise he would have said that. So I know I could have said that, therefore I'll say this, even though I'm lying through my teeth. Some Achronim have this time and they say, you know, Migos, one second. If you're too smart, Migos don't work. If you're not smart enough, Migos don't work. If you're too smart, Migos don't work. Migos are just like for the three bears, just the one in the middle. Just for your average intelligent person. He's not a big time chacham, not too conniving. Him, Migos are good, but that's how they do work. First we give a guy an intelligence test to see, and we give him an honesty test. Come on. Migos are for everybody. So Rashi says, you know what? Migos are for nobody, because we can never say with a straight face, Migo. What is Rashi implying? Migos don't work because they're never really a good raya. But what kind of Migos do work? Pesha says, why? Those are really good rayas. Because Pesha also is really, really convincing. It's super duper convincing. Why is super convincing?
Yeah, no.
You don't have to be a... What does Rashi say? No, what does Rashi say? Rashi is implying that you can't believe a guy to say amigo But you can believe a guy. What did Rashi say? That is a good raya. Because nobody, if you're a conniving, lying kind of a fellow, you would never in a million years walk to Beis Din and start telling a whole story that nobody asked you to come, nobody invited you. I have nothing else to do this morning. Go to Beis Din and tell them a whole story that's going to be get me into trouble. There's no question I'm telling the truth. So Rashi's playing a game. Yeah, Rashi is just measuring truthfulness of your words. Rashi is simply, Rashi's getting hired here to be a detective to figure out what are the odds this guy's lying. So Rashi's the lie detector test. So Rashi says, if you had to come and give a response to something, so yeah, you could have said this, but you could have said that doesn't carry today. That's not so convincing, because you could be a guy who's not so smart, you didn't understand the other time, you're a marim. There are a lot of reasons to question whether that's a raya. Also, that's a very, very good raya. There's no way to explain that Mistabi is telling the truth. So according to Rashi, this is just all a game of crossing the threshold, reaching the barometer of measuring, are your words believable or not? Regular migos fail, pesha also pass. So Rashi said, I just read the Rashi. Who ever read this Rashi with me?
I don't understand about pesha also, if someone's so smart they could still make migos.
No, but they'd be foolish. Why'd they come for?
Prevent someone else that's going to come first.
Oh, come on. That's like too smart, really. That's really a smart.
What's they're saying as far as if someone makes smart?
They're smarter than this Mamish Ganevish. Come on. That's way too sharp. Okay. I mean, the guy's getting, 1,500 SATs, not a 1,600. I mean, that was so smart. You guys are too conniving. Forget the conniving. Thinking too smart. What did Rashi not say, by the way? If I was Rashi and I just read the Gemara Shor Shochot that convinced me Migos don't really exist, but Peshachos do, and you see Rashi's trouble. You see Rashi, you have to feel the pain of Rashi. Rashi's sitting there and sitting in France, and he's trying to understand, trying to write, trying to send this legacy to Deiris Deiris as to why Migos don't exist. He's busting the bubble of everything he learned since he was a little kid, telling us Migos don't really exist. Peshach also says, he goes, Nish, and Rashi is explaining to you, it all has to do with the barometers, the threshold of lying. I could come up with something different. I have a better idea, different idea. Migos don't exist. They don't exist. Not Migos, Dibra Shosik. They don't exist. Peshach also is a different parish of Lagamre. Peshach also is not a proof that the guy's telling the truth. It's not a threshold to figure out whether he's lying. It's not a lie detector test. You know what Pesha Osir is? Pesha Osir is a different halacha. It's called all or nothing. It is inconceivable to accept the half the story and reject the other half the story. Either you accept what the guy's saying or you reject what he's saying. If you accept what he's saying, then he wins. And if you reject what he's saying, then he wins also. The only way he loses is what? If you accept the first half, reject the second half. Like the woman who comes to Beis Din, she says, Eish Yisayisu Gushani. If you accept what she's saying, then she's Mutaris to Shuk. Get married. If you reject what she's saying, she's inviting the terrorists to get married. The only thing that can ruin her shidduch prospects is to say we accept the first and not the second. That's what Peshach is. Peshach also means it's more than nothing. There's nothing to do with lying. There's a cloud in Hilchas Dibur. Hilchas Tain is amazing. There's nothing to do with anything. Rashi Taka didn't say that. Keep that in mind, because that may come back to haunt us later on and freeze your sugyas. Rashi kept it all. You hold on. Rashi's kept it just all in the threshold barometer, the testing line. Okay, hold on. So basically, what do we have here? We are so excited, right? We are just jumping for joy here, because we discovered Rashi just in itself. We read a Rashi together in Sukkos Daf Tzayin, and we used the Rashi to defend the Yeshayahu, the first Sheikh Zayin like was quoted in the Rif. We should be really, really on top of the world. And yet, in the back of our mind, we should be very, very disturbed. Because what we just did was what? What did we just do? We just took all the Migos and tossed them out the window. What happened to Migo Kavua, Migo de Bezuyo? What happened to Migo Hezai, to Migo de Lensu? What happened to all the Migos that we spent, that we loved? Is that from the first barrack? What happened to them? They all went like dust in the wind.
There's a lot of chilek between these cases and those cases.
Wait. There were tovehims in all those cases.
Oh, Oh, but in those cases, you knew that there was going to have to be some claim. You knew that there was going to be a payment.
There was a Tavea. There was a Tavea. Whenever there was a Tavea, the game's over. Rashi said, the Mamarim, the Melos Gadaite, whenever there's a Tavea, Rashi said, the game's over.
But here, this case came out of the blue.
But Rashi said it. Rashi said, there's a Tavea, the game's over. All those cases there
were. Rabbi, can you say it? What? Could you say that Rashi was only talking within Rabbi Yehoshua?
Wait. So our initial reaction, it's very, very, very depressing to end shiur like this on a Thursday. That Migos don't exist. You're going to go home, and, you know, they're going to ask you about the Shabbos. Oh, what did you learn today? So your little brother's going to say, what I learned today? What did you learn in Yeshiva week? I learned how to ski. I learned how to go to swim in Florida. What did I learn this week? Nobody knows. Nobody learned anything this week. So you're going to come and they're going to ask you, so what did the big brother learn? What did you learn this week? I learned that Migos don't exist. And for that, I send it to Yeshiva. For that, we pay the money to YU. They should get, they should brainwash them. Those are just Migos. Are you talking about this? So I say, don't get depressed. Don't get down. We have follow-up on Sunday Mitzvah. Migos is going to come back with a venom. It's amazing. Migos, like you've never seen before. Hang in there. Okay, a little bit of different.